morning, everyone. Some of you that are too serious looking, you need to just look up. Okay? I feel very much driven this morning to talk about decision making. All week long, in fact, since I have known that the brothers had asked me to fill this capacity today, I felt compelled to talk about decision making. Decisions are so important. We are a product of the decisions that we have made, the decisions and its consequences. That's the sum total of what we are. So if I look at you and you look at me, I am the total of all the decisions that I have made. Many people, in fact, everyone, makes decisions every day. Some decisions are good, and some decisions most of us wish we had never made. I think all of us have some regrets in our lives. I think particularly today, I would like to address the younger crowd in our congregation. And I'm not talking about age. Those that are young and think they're young also, which may include me. I don't think of myself as old until I look at my birthday and I count up, you know, and the kids come over, or Arlene reminds me, you know, what my next birthday is going to be, which is all right. Decisions. God laid a text on my heart in Matthew 19. I want to invite you to turn there. I want to read that text, and then we'll have a prayer, and then we'll ask God to bless his word to our heart. Matthew 19, go to verse 16. The title in my Bible is The Rich Young Ruler. A man who had great advantages. He probably, in categorizing him, would be the most American of all, or many of them that I have read about. So I think it applies to all of us. The decision making is whom we love, whom we obey, how we do things, how we live. It will be about decisions about the Lord in our life, business in our life. Jesus in this section addresses those that are wealthy, and which means all of us to some degree. Those kinds of decisions. Our Bible class this morning, if you were not here, you should have been here. Because the decision was that Abraham was asked by God to leave his country, his home, the place where he was born, of his kindred, and go to a land that I will show thee, God said. And then he said, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee, and I will bless them that bless thee. And in thee all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. That is a far-reaching promise, but it's contingent upon his decision of leaving Nazareth, or leaving Mesopotamia, wherever he was, traveling and going where he, Brother Levi, you did an excellent job this morning. I want to commend you for it. But he and I were talking. Can you imagine if you as a husband, if I came home from somewhere and I said to Arlene, honey, we're leaving. God told me to leave. We're going. Where are we going? I don't know. Well, wait a minute. Don't I have something to say in this? Can you imagine what he faced when he got home? But he had to decide. And today, each of us are going to be bidden to decide. Because the Bible says in Luke 9, there's a parable, or there's a story. There are three men who come to him, come to Jesus. And the story begins this way. It says, Jesus talks about, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, take up his cross. Meaning, you and I have a cross that we need to take up. And it says there daily. We have a daily cross, a daily decision, a daily facing of the facts that we have faced, when we're faced with God. All of us. Then he says, come and follow me. So you got to make up your mind. You got to be hard on yourself. You got to take up your cross. And you got to do it every day. That's decision. If we want to follow him. And this is what this is all about. Because I assume, I shouldn't assume, I am confident that all of us here are at least as interested in following as the Lord as I am. I surmise even more. But in Matthew 19, we have a particular situation. I'm going to read it now. Let's in verse 16. Here's after Jesus had gone through a number of things, and he blesses the children. He lays hands on them because people came. You know, the disciples almost always got in the way, but in verse 16, it says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when a young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and have followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Let us bow our heads momentarily. Lord, you've given us a word that is in some respects extremely serious that needs to be faced by each one of us and needs to be remembered that this is a daily decision that we come to, that it impacts all that we are and all that we do and all that we say and all that come after us and all that observe us. And we ask your blessing, we ask your grace, we ask your mercy, and we ask, Lord, that you might do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, for we pray it in your most holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. A poet said, once to every nation, to every man and nation, comes a moment to decide in the strife of good with falsehood for the good or evil side. Our country, our nation, our locale, our homes, our lives are all a product of decisions, both good and bad, or not so good. Already mentioned about regrets. It's terrible when we have regrets. I was listening to somebody recently, I may have been listening, I'm not sure if it was something I read or heard, and this preacher was complaining about, he said, I get up and preach, and you know, nothing happens. Seems like the people that I preach today have a Teflon mind. Nothing sticks. And I thought, you know what? It's not up to the preacher. I appreciated early someone prayed that, and this morning they prayed, that we would have open hearts, that God would speak to us, because it's God's word that really matters. It's not mine, but it's my reaction to God's word that makes that difference. Someone said, I'll tell you, this is something that happened to me. When I was younger, I remember I had not been in the ministry very long, and I was invited to come somewhere out in the Midwest, and I went there and preached. And I thought, God was with me, and I will remember the brother, one of the older brothers. I'll tell you who it was, Brother Walter Meyer. Some of you remember him. I remember him getting up after the sermon was over, and he says, Brother Riney, it's pretty easy to tell what to do, isn't it? But it's so hard to do it. And I thought, he took all the steam out of me. Because it is true. It is true. It is true, beloved. It is easy to read it. It's easy to study it. It's easy to know the answers. It's easy to do that. But to do it is another story. Right? When you are faced with a decision, when you need to make a decision, it is hard to do. Particularly a decision like this. It is so hard. This morning, Sunday morning, I knew that I was going to be here, and so I just randomly opened the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 4. There is a man who made a decision. His name is Demas. And I've always kind of looked at that man, never really looked up what he did, but Paul says there, Demas has forsaken me and has gone back to Thessalonica. And I thought to myself, I go back and I read, there were two other references in my Bible about Demas. One was where Demas was a fellow worker with Paul. And he, apparently Paul had, when he said this to Timothy, he had in mind that Demas was once part of my team, if you will, but he has forsaken me. He has gone back to Thessalonica. And I wondered about that. And there's another reference to him about him sending greetings from Paul. I don't remember exactly where they are now, but those are the three references. And then I thought, what happened? The man must have made a decision somewhere along the line that the Apostle Paul was not going to make it, because he was in prison when he writes that. He was incarcerated for the gospel's sake. And Demas has forsaken, Paul asked there, send me my cloak and send me my books and send me the things that I want. Because winter was coming, he wanted his cloak and so forth. But Demas has forsaken him. Beloved, decisions are so important that I cannot overemphasize this. I don't think the Bible overemphasizes it. Starting, particularly the Bible. The Bible has decisions that have impacted, major decisions, starting right with Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden. They went and took of that fruit and ate us out of house and home, and here we are. But it was a terrible decision, not a very big one, but it was one that impacted the rest of humanity, the rest of creation. It was one that impacted heaven and earth by what had happened. That's not the only one. You know, when I think about Abraham had to make a decision. Lot had to make a decision. We didn't come to that, but Lot made a decision. And he chose the valley, the fertile valley, and it became his undoing. And many of the others in the scriptures made decisions. Some decisions were really, really bad. You know that. I do not need to tell you that, because that's what it is. In our lesson today, I have to look at my notes because my memory is not as good as it used to be. I was thinking about Judas also this morning. Judas made a decision when he sold the Lord, and the scriptures say that he went out from them and went out into the darkness. And those kinds of decisions, darkness always has in mind the world. And so when he left him, and I thought about Peter. Peter also left, went out in the darkness. But Peter wept bitterly, repented, and came back. And there are a number of others. And you can imagine those kinds of things. But in our lesson today, we have a young man. And this young man, when he comes before Jesus, we're not sure exactly what brought him about, but there's someone that came. Someone that came, this young man, in verse 16, it says, and he said unto the Lord, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? What good thing shall I do? It was a young man who came. A young man in this account, if you read along with me, the scriptures say that he was young, that he was wealthy, and he apparently had a pretty good resume. When Jesus said to him, when he asked him, did you keep your commandments? He said, well, which one? Which one do I need yet? Looks like I've kept them all, and there's still something lacking. And beloved, when you and I know I'm going to speak about myself. There's often times I look into my own heart And I said, there sometimes is something lacking. And I want to search God for what that is that's lacking. A commitment that I've made, somewhere there is something lacking. And if we're honest, I think all of us at times realize that. Because we're saved by grace. We're not saved by what we do. We're not saved by, here he says, did you keep the commandments? Well, he says, which one? Well, thou shalt do no murder. That's not a hard thing to do, not to do murder. A lot of people have not committed murder. Then the next one here, let me find it again. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's another one. It's not necessarily hard to keep. Although I think our society has done or wrought havoc with this situation, not only adultery but fornication. And they said, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. All of those are external. Well, the first set is external. It's something that you do, something that you can control, something that he could say, I have done that. Then he said, well, how about honoring your parents? Well, I have done that. The young man said in verse 19, the father said, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all these things I have kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Let me go back and talk about this young man. See, this young man had a lot of advantages. Jesus looked at him. What were some of his advantages? He had some things going for him. He was young. You know, and I'm going to be honest with you. There are times when I'm in this morning, and I've been thinking this week much. I look at some of you, and I look at some of you are young. You have great potential. Great potential. And some of you are squandering that potential. Some of you that are young believers, fathers, some of you, are squandering that potential that God has given you. Some of these things we have no choice. We've got to do them. For instance, I as a father, I have to be a father. I have to do things that fathers do. I have to do things that are right, for not only for myself, but I have, you know, when I go before God in judgment, I'm not going to be only judged because of me as a person. I will be judged as a father. God will look at me and say, you're a father. How did you do? He'll look at me and say, as a husband, how did you do? Look at me as a, in my case, in the ministry. How did you do? Beloved, all of us need to realize that the decisions we make in the person that we are, there are some things that's required of us to do the right things. What, you know, this week I also read the book of Esther. And I thought to myself, you know, there's a beautiful statement there. When Mordecai says to his niece Esther, when she was so reluctant to go and go in to face the king because they were going to annihilate the nation of Israel or the Jewish people. And Mordecai says to her, who knows, but God may have raised you for such a time as this. And I thought to myself, I looked at my own heart and I said, did God raise me for such a time as this? Did he put me into this time? Did he put you into this time, into this place, into this church and into this situation? Are you there because God has put you there by his choice that we would be doing what we need to do the right thing? I believe that to be true. So he had as Jesus looked at him, he was young, He was a ruler. And this account, this story is told in the three synoptic gospels. And if you read all three, you see that he came and he fell and knelt down before Jesus. And if he would have been a ruler, he would have been a ruler of the synagogue. So you could not become a ruler of the synagogue unless you had some things in good order. You had to have good thinking, good education. He was probably an extremely ambitious. I would not be surprised he was extremely good looking. Because we read there in one of the lessons, I think maybe in, I don't remember which one, not in Matthew, but Jesus looked at him. When he decided to walk out, Jesus looked at him and the Bible says, and he loved him. I understand that. I have sons. And sometimes our sons walked away from me. And my heart would ache. Because I loved them. I'm glad they got older and made right, good decisions. But all of them were not good. But God gave them grace to repent. Beloved, this man had something going for him. He had good morals. You know what? If someone were to come to this church and want to take out membership and say, I have obeyed, I have not done anything from my youth. I didn't steal, I didn't cheat, I didn't murder anybody, it has a whole list. And the brothers could say, well, good, you're a good prospect. Besides, you're wealthy. Besides, he's a ruler. He's got his head on straight. Good candidate, right? But Jesus looks at him and says, you're lacking something yet. This man came asking the right questions. He came to the right place. He asked the right person. He didn't come in a judgmental way. He came in a genuine way. There was no deception in it. There was nothing in it. I think he was absolutely honest when he came before the Lord. He was very respectful towards Jesus Christ. A model young man. If he lived next door to you, most of you moms would say to your son, I wish you would be like this guy, like Johnny next door. He always behaves. He always honors his parents. He never goes, does things. You know, when he's asked to do the lawn, he does it. When he's tasked to take out the garbage, he does it. And he brings the garbage can in without having to be told. And he does things the right way. Why can't you be like that? He's got good grades. Why can't you do this? Right? We do those kinds of things. I mean, moms do that. I've heard it. Dads do it too. Maybe not as much. And he was wealthy. The scriptures make that clear in all three of the instances. He had money. What a candidate. Then Jesus looks at him and loves him. But Jesus did not change his message to him. It says here, then said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And the scriptures tell us here, if I read it, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Interesting. Does it mean that if we have something, we need to sell it and give it away? No, it doesn't mean that. Does it mean that we will have everlasting life? You know, here it says, what shall I do to have eternal life? And Jesus didn't say, do this and you will have eternal life. He said, you will have life. Because there is only life after death. That what we have now is not life. This is a preparation period. It's so, you know, I look at this, it's gone. Where did 77 years go? I look around and I say, you know, in most places, I'm not the oldest in here. You have that distinct honor, Sister Kay, you know. But the point is, didn't it go fast, my dear sister? Where did it go? So, yes, there's a period of time, but by the time you're born and by the time you grow up and by the time the acne leaves, you have got gray hair. But to have life is what Jesus gives. It's after this life. And he says, go sell. Why does he do this? Because he knows within his heart there is something that he loves. And it's not the Lord. The scriptures say obedience leads to faith. Obedience is the same thing as faith. There's no difference. Or love. There's no difference. For instance, illustration. Arlene loves me. You know, there isn't anything that girl would refuse to do for me. I don't even have to ask. I get up in the morning and I look like this and she says, your coffee is ready, honey. How does she know I want coffee? I didn't say it. I don't have to. Because when we love each other, we don't have to. We do things not because we have to. You know, in Fairlawn or in Bath Township, they have a rule that you have to take care of your kids. I don't think the police ever came to our house, honey, did they? To tell us that we have to feed our kids? And none of them look skinny, do they? Right. Why? Because we love, and when you love, and so here it says, yes, I have obeyed the commandments, but these are outward commandments. They're not really inward command. The inward commandment says, I will love my neighbor as myself. You know, if you look at this story in all three of the Gospels, I think in Mark it says, do not defraud thy brother. Meaning, don't take advantage of him. Don't do things at his expense. Don't, if he, you know, no, you're supposed to love him as you love yourself. You're supposed to take care of him. And if I love myself, I'm going to love him. But if I don't love myself, if I don't love him, I don't love myself. Does that make sense? It does to me. Jesus says to him, and love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because Jesus deals with the heart. And that's the decision that he asks every one of us to make on a daily basis. Whom do you love? The decision is not an easy one because it goes on to say in verse 23, then Jesus said to him, verily, verily, I said unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And there's a couple more verses that we'll get to in a moment. Interesting to me. I thought, you know, I've always heard that there is a gate in Jerusalem, or not always, but I've heard there's a gate in Jerusalem, the wall, and the gate is so small. And when once the main gate was closed, the door, if someone came late, they had to come into Jerusalem through this little gate, and they had to get off of the camel because it was so small. And they called it the eye of a needle. I heard this. So I thought, well, you know, I'm learning how to look up Google. I don't have that, what Sister Valerie was talking about. I don't know how to do that stuff. Besides, I'm not that fast. It takes me half of the week. Looked it up. Jesus used the word that is used of the eye of the needle. The exact same thing. So I went to Arlene's little thing that she has her needles and her thread, you know. I stay away from there because I have sensitive finger points, and then, you know, I don't like those things stick me all the time. But I looked at a needle and I thought to myself, you know what? If I would have been the first one that ever heard this, that when Jesus uttered this and when he looked at him, the impossibility, how can anyone fit through there? It's not possible. But then I read here, with God, all things are possible. God can do it. God can, I don't know how he would do it. I don't know. But with man, it is impossible. It is impossible to do it, but God says it can be done. But what he did say here is, to those of us that have riches, and there is, it includes all of us, we have a cost to pay. But you're going to pay the cost no matter what you do. If you decide for Christ, there is a cost. If you do not decide, you have already decided, and there is a cost to pay for that. We pay no matter what we do. One way or the other, which would you rather pay? Might be the question. I would rather be a disciple. I would rather follow him. I'd rather have Jesus than anything the song says, right? I'd rather have him than silver or gold. I'd rather have him than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Why? Because anything that this world can afford is lost. It's going to either rust or blow away or rot or whatever else happens. I don't know what else happens. It disappears, right? Kind of like when you have, I don't have any holes in my pocket right now, but I used to, when I was younger, I used to always have holes in my pocket. And you dare not put coins or anything. It was always gone. It's like putting something in a pocket and it's gone. That's what it is. So, I put a note down here that I want to read because I can't quote it, I can't remember it real well, but it says, it is good to have the things that money can buy, provided we do not lose the things that money cannot buy. It is good to have it. We need it. But it better not get a hold of us, this world, with all its allurements, with all its lies, with all its empty promises. So what's the final lesson here? I'm going to say this. Eternity will reveal what the final cost of our decision will be. The sign down there says, life has many choices. Eternity has two. Either heaven or hell. We choose. We choose in a situation like today where we will go. You have chosen. Whichever way you do it, when you walk out this door, you have chosen. When I walk out this door, I have chosen. Either for or against. And Jesus said, those that are against me, or I'm also against them, or I don't remember how that says that, but I have it right here somewhere typed out. I don't see it right now. Because there's a price to pay. Consequences will have consequences. A couple of days ago, I think it was earlier this week, I was driving down the street. Well, Kurt, you saw the ambulance come down our street. And our neighbor, lady, I was driving down the street and I saw the ambulance in the driveway of our neighbors. So I stopped, and because we know the lady, she's an older lady, Kaylee, you know her. You go over there sometimes, Mrs. Derlis. But I stopped and I thought, you know, I'm going to find out. There was police was there. And you know how always when there's an ambulance, there's always police and fire. Sometimes firemen come. I walked up the driveway and policeman comes out. And here was the man that came the week before to our house. And he remembered me. And he says, how you doing? And you know what? And I said, I'm doing fine. And what's going on? And he told me, and he said to me, he says, you know, life is so fragile. You're here today and gone tomorrow. Coming from a policeman. And I thought to myself, you know what? That's a message we all ought to heed. We can be here today. Arlene Red was reading the obituaries the other day, last night. She says there was an 18-year-old, or 16-year-old, did you say? I don't remember now. You know, decision time is today. We make it every day. But I'm going to tell you, beloved, there is no other reason why I am here, why the brothers are here, why we as elders or ministers are here, except to tell you that there's decision time. You need to make that decision. And those of us who have made the primary, the important, the big, the greatest decision of all need to make it every single day again. Arlene and I were married 53 years ago, almost 50, going on 54. We have promised each other love and faithfulness, not every day, but I would say more times than there are months since we've been married. Why? Because it's a commitment that we've made. And that commitment is not tested when I'm with her. That commitment is tested when I walk down the street, or when I observe some of the scantily clad people, or when I look at television and they say, those clothes are half off. I agree. They're only half on, too. Or in the stores. I don't like to walk even in the mall because of the things that are going on. Because they're real. The temptations are real. The temptation to be unfaithful is not when I'm at home. It's when I'm away, when my eye is diverted, when I lose the concentration. It's what it is. And I make that decision. I either glorify God or I'm not. And I can imagine my Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, looking at us and saying, just like he did at this young man, and he loved him. Because he loved you. He gave his life for you. He gave his life for me. He went to the cross when he had a choice. And he chose to suffer the afflictions of the cross rather than riches of Egypt, or however that says that. He chose that. He voluntarily chose because he loved us. And he loved you. And he loved me. And he knows the potential that he put into each one of us. And may God bless the word.